The Green Bay Packers have declined to place the franchise tag on wide receiver Randall Cobb, and everyone is now wondering if he's prepared to leave. One report says he's seeking a deal worth $12 million per season. Will he be gone in free agency? We'll break it all down on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Some Packers football this morning. I apologize if you can probably tell your host is under the weather. Just a case of the common cold, but I apologize if I sound a little bit more nasally this morning. I was actually considering not doing the show knowing my voice is so bad right now, but I was determined because we've already got guests lined up for our big 500th episode this upcoming Monday. We'll be revealing those soon, and I didn't want to throw off the whole numbering and push back a day we already have guests lined up. So here we are. We're talking Packers football, and I do think it is a notable day because we kick off the show with
Packers news of the day.
Maybe it's not necessarily the news of the day of the past 24 hours. Actually, probably the biggest news broke after our last episode of Railbird Central on Monday. The Packers decline to use the franchise tag on Randall Cobb, or any other player for that matter, or any other tag for that matter, the transition tag as well. So now Packer Nation is losing their shit, wondering if Randall Cobb is going to stay in Green Bay or not. And on top of that, we have a report from Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that Randall Cobb is seeking a deal worth $12 million per season. This, of course, comes on the heels of a report that he was seeking $9 million per season. That was from Rob Domofsky of ESPN, and that was prior to the combine. Somehow, in the past few weeks, it's gone from $9 million to $12 million. And, I mean, you can understand it. I mean, maybe things that happened at the combine transpired that, you know, thought maybe Cobb could reach this $12 million per season. You know, the agent is obviously talking to teams while he's there, things like that. But anyway, I mean, there's been a lot of attention at this for this report at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And here's the quote I'll share here from Tom Silverstein. It's really brief here, but I mean, this is where this number is coming from that everybody's talking about. Quote, according to one NFL source, the word at the scouting combine where agent Jimmy Sexton was undoubtedly weighing the market for Cobb with NFL general managers and front office executives was that his price for Cobb was $12 million per year, end quote. So there you go. That's the word on the street that Randall Cobb is now seeking per year. I've said in the past, it makes sense that Cobb would be paid about roughly $9 million because not because of the report, although that certainly lends credence to it, but that's because it lands almost smack dab in the middle of what A, Victor Cruz is making, and B, what Jordy Nelson is making. Victor Cruz is the highest paid slot receiver in the NFL currently, which is, you know, what Randall Cobb is. Yeah, Granted, Randall Cobb can be more than just a slot wide receiver, but I think if I'm correct, if you go to profootballfocus.com, you will find out, I believe, Randall Cobb ran more routes from the slot than any receiver in the NFL this past season. I'm pretty sure that's the case. So that's why I use Victor Cruz as kind of this starting point, or this point of comparison, I guess. Victor Cruz averages, with his last contract, he averages about $8.6 million per season. Now, meanwhile, Jordy Nelson, currently the highest paid Packers wide receiver on their roster, is making roughly about $9.8 million per season, if you round up. I see that $9 million being, you know, right there in the middle between those two. So making Randall Cobb the new highest paid slot wide receiver in the NFL, but at the same time, still making just a tick less than Jordy Nelson. Now, I could see this coming back during the NFL Combine. Now, you know, almost 2 weeks in the rearview mirror, at least the start of the NFL Combine. And when we had the opportunity to speak to General Manager Ted Thompson, I actually asked him specifically about how he takes into account the feelings of Jordy Nelson when negotiating with Randall Cobb. So this one today is very brief, but this is our
expert interview.
I tried my best, folks. I realize the response here from Ted Thompson is not anything earth-shattering, groundbreaking, or really sheds much insight. But to show you, Cheesehead TV is doing their best to get some insight. Here's what Ted Thompson had to say.
Ted, how do you factor in Jordy Nelson when negotiating with Randall Cobb, just because it's an easily comparable thing? Who's getting paid more? Who's getting paid less?
There are a lot of dynamics to negotiation contracts and the value of players and that sort of thing. I've never proposed that I'm an expert at it, but there are people that are, and we look into things like that. But the fact of the matter is both those guys are good football players, and we like to have them both on our team.
Like I said, nothing really too insightful there. Of course, he would like to have them both on the team, but that really doesn't, you know, say anything about how much Randall Cobb is going to eventually be paid. My voice is really bad here. Before it became official that the salary cap would be jumping by $10 million, perhaps we should have seen this coming. You know, that just became official this week that the salary cap would be $143 million this upcoming NFL season. That is roughly about $10 million more than last year. But it was reported months ago that this would be happening. I know Albert Breer of the NFL Network, he might have been the first one that reported, or at least the first that I've seen report it. But for some reason, it doesn't seem to be sinking in until now that people are finally realizing what's happening here. On average, players are going to be getting paid more league-wide in the NFL, regardless of position. I'm not just talking Randall Cobb. I'm not just talking wide receivers. Because of this rise in the salary cap, we're going to see players in the NFL get paid more than ever before. Contracts are going to be bigger. All this year's free agent classes, on average, they're going to get bigger contracts than, you know, players got a year ago, or, you know, even longer than that, for that matter. The thing that makes negotiations difficult, as I see it, is that the Packers don't really want to set the precedent of Randall Cobb making more than Jordy Nelson. The contract that Jordy Nelson signed was his third contract in the NFL. He's the more experienced player. He's the more productive player than Randall Cobb. So does one $10 million cap hike throw that out of whack? I mean, that $10 million increase really only represents about a 6% rise in the salary cap. So, I mean, does that alone mean Randall Cobb should be paid higher? That's what the Packers have to weigh here. I just don't think they want to set that precedent of here, you know, that they want to set the structure up so you're getting paid more and more in your next contracts with the Packers. You know, the longer you're with the team, the longer tenure you have. They want you working towards that, earning that over time. And that's why they don't want the young guy in only a second contract, you know, setting the precedent. It just because, you know, now every contract beyond this, they can use that as the arguing point that they deserve to be the number one paid, you know, player at their position, even if there's somebody who's in their third contract. That's what makes this so difficult. So, with all this being said, I'd like to think that maybe the Packers could get Cobb for roughly $9.5 million on average. Higher than I thought before, but again, that's still just a tick underneath Jordy Nelson, who's your number one wide receiver. Randall Cobb is your number two. And you know, maybe the Packers have to give Randall Cobb a little bit of a bigger signing bonus for that to happen. They're going to give him more guaranteed money. But, you know, I think, you know, if that's what you have to do to get Randall Cobb signed, I think you do it. You give him the bigger signing bonus, but it still averages out to about $9.5 million per season or so. You know, the question is also here, how much of this alleged $12 million is accurate and how much of it is just bluster? You know, this is, you know, allegedly coming from the agent. You know, maybe it's a secondhand source, but I mean, you know, how many teams out there are really willing to make Cobb the number one paid slot receiver in the NFL, you know, going from Victor Cruz, who was number one at $8.6 million a season? Are they willing to go $3 to $4 million on top of that now for the number one slot wide receiver in the NFL? I'm not sure that anybody is really willing to give that much. That's practically the salary cap figure. I mean, all this being said, you've got allegedly the Oakland Raiders with interest in Randall Cobb, and you can sit there and connect the dots. The general manager out in Oakland is Reggie McKenzie. He's gone after a lot of, you know, former Packers players in the past here, including Charles Woodson just last season, wide receiver James Jones, defensive lineman C.J. Wilson. The list goes on. It gets, I can see how people connect the dots there. And not only that, the Raiders have a lot of salary cap space. So do the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think they have the most salary cap space in the entire NFL. So, you know, the other thing you got to weigh here is, does Randall Cobb want to go to a team like the Raiders or the Jaguars, one of the worst teams in the NFL, at $12 million a season, allegedly, when push comes to shove? I don't know if they're going to pay him that regardless. Or does he want to get, you know, stay working with Aaron Rodgers, where he's got a chance to not only be good, but have a chance to be a good, you know, team year in, year out with opportunities to win the Super Bowl? And, you know, it's how much do you give to do that? I mean, is that worth $1 million a season? But I mean, you look at that figure too. It's not just $1 million. That's $1 million over the course of a contract, you know, whether it be 4 or 5 years. That's, we're talking $4 or $5 million that he might sacrifice to give the, you know, so-called hometown discount, to stay in Green Bay. He, you know, bottom line here, I think my gut, my instinct tells me Randall Cobb eventually comes to a deal with the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, the Packers have exclusive negotiating rights through Saturday. They have exclusive signing rights through Monday, or is it Tuesday? Tuesday at the start of free agency. So there's time yet. Time is ticking, no doubt about it. Those you know, pieces of sand in the hourglass are now dwindling rather quickly, so to speak. But, like I said, bottom line, I think Randall Cobb comes to an agreement with the Green Bay Packers eventually. I'm thinking it's about $9.5 million on average, maybe a little bit higher guaranteed money than people were expecting. He gets a big signing bonus, so be it. What was I going to say here? As far as Randall Cobb goes, and the time's running out, as I was saying before, and the Packers do have other players to, you know, negotiate with as well. And the sooner they get this done, the sooner they can get deals done with Brian Bulaga and the rest of the whole free agent class that are also, you know, important to the team as well. So I don't necessarily feel really confident, you know, as time passes, the less confident I get in Randall Cobb, you know, sticking around. But I still think that's the most likely outcome. Go back to a year ago. You remember negotiations went down to the 11th hour with cornerback Sam Shields. You'll remember that 3-day window in which he could negotiate with other teams opened, but he never saw the point where he could actually sign with another team because he came to an agreement with the Packers. I think if I were a betting man, that's what I think will happen here. The Packers will agree with Randall Cobb. I've said it now several times. So there you go. There's the breakdown on Randall Cobb and the Green Bay Packers. And now it's time for
the day ahead.
The Pro Day circuit continues. It began on Monday. This is basically what's happening throughout the whole month of March in the NFL. Kind of before free agency starts here, you can focus a little bit on the NFL draft because the NFL combine's over, and now every college in the nation, basically, every at least big college or university, is hosting their own pro day workout for their draft eligible players. The Packers have been in attendance at the first 2 days at universities like Virginia, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Auburn, Northwestern. These are just a handful that have had their pro day workouts in the past 2 days. All these, according to the university themselves, who've kind of, you know, leak this information on their websites or their social media accounts, whatever. And so the Packers don't exactly publish where precisely they'll be attending. They never have. I don't think they ever will. But it doesn't take long to scan social media and find out where the Packers are at. Today's dates on a Wednesday, the pro day workouts being held today are Mississippi State, Texas A&M, Arkansas, Purdue, and Weber State. So 3 dates there in the SEC conference between Mississippi State, Texas A&M, and Arkansas. So big day there down south, I suppose. Perhaps maybe one of the players of most interest to the Green Bay Packers might be inside linebacker Bernardrick McKinney of Mississippi State. Just simply, you know, connecting the dots between the Packers' need for an inside linebacker and a guy who's fairly highly rated. I don't have Bernardrick McKinney as high as some people. I just don't think he's quite the athlete that a guy like Eric Kendricks is. I just don't like him on film as much. I think he's a little more limited in coverage. He's as tall as you can possibly get as an inside linebacker, measuring in at over 6'4". That's really tall for a linebacker. It takes a little bit longer to get those long limbs moving, I think, which makes him, you know, a little bit lesser of a prospect, in my opinion, for the Green Bay Packers. Not, I mean, Now, all of a sudden, if the Packers pass on an inside linebacker in the first round, you know, maybe you are talking about Bernardrick McKinney being a candidate in the second or third, things like that. So I'm certainly not ruling it out entirely. I'm just saying Bernardrick McKinney is not, at the top of my inside linebacker list right now. I have other guys ahead of him, including Stephon Anthony of Clemson as well. But some to watch on social media today. If anything happens, we'll share it here at Cheesehead TV. But that's going to do it, folks, for today's episode. My voice is shot. I'm sure people don't even really care to listen to my nasally voice on a day like today. As much as I want to sit here and talk Packers, I do think we broke down the Randall Cobb situation pretty well here. Hopefully, I will be back to normal. Hope I will be sounding better 2 days from now. When the next episode of Railbird Central is every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. On Friday, we'll be checking in with Scott McKenna, our monthly engagement, the first Friday of every month. Scott McKenna, the Talkin' Smack blog. We'll be talking Packers on Friday, and then once again, our 500th episode on Monday. Looking forward to that. My call to action, if you have not done so already, please give us a on iTunes. Give us a rating on iTunes. Everything at Cheesehead TV is free. All the content, no paywall, no subscription. Our draft guide is available for purchase. Certainly that is not a requirement by any means, being part of Cheesehead TV. But the one thing we do appreciate for all this free content, give us a rating on iTunes. Helps us get the word out. Helps us show that we are a very good source of information, especially in the podcast realm. So we'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Tinderbox by String Cheese Incident on Sci Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.